Awesome. I want to start out this new year by asking you guys a question. What would you attempt to do this year if you knew you would not fail? Think about that. What would you attempt to do this year if you knew you would not fail? That's the question my wife asked me back in the fall of 2011. I was a worship pastor up at a church in Detroit, and we had lived up there for a few years, doing that for several years. And we were in this season where we felt kind of stuck. We felt frustrated. We felt like we were spinning our wheels. We felt like God was leading us to something else, but we didn't know what it was, and we were trying to figure it out, and we were trying different things, and nothing was working. And so we were just stuck. We were frustrated, and we came to visit family down here in this area, and we were on our way back on this six-hour car ride on a Sunday night through what I like to call the barren wasteland of northern Ohio. Okay, there is nothing up there for hours. You just like want to tear your eyes out and go to sleep finally. You know, and so maybe not you, but me. Okay, all right. And so we were just driving, and I was complaining. Believe it or not, I know I'm just, you guys just think I'm perfect and I never even say anything negative, but I was complaining, I was frustrated, I was telling my wife how upset I was, like, I don't know what to do, I just feel stuck. And she goes, you know, let me ask you a question. She goes, what would you do if you knew that you could not fail? She was talking big picture. You know, when you're in a season, when you feel stuck, when you're frustrated, when you're spinning your wheels, when you don't know what to do next, it's really good to take a step back and ask one of those clarifying questions, a big question that helps you clarify what is your life all really about. What would you do, Aaron, if you knew you could not fail? You know what I said to her? I said, I'm not talking about that. I say, you know what that is, and I'm not talking about it. You see, probably about a year and a half prior, I had given up on what I felt like I was called to do. I'd had an experience where I had a dream, I had a desire, you might call it. I would call it a calling, where I felt called, I felt led to start a brand new church back where we were from in southern Ohio. And I'd started about the process of that. I'd gotten excited about it. I went to a church planning conference. How do you start new churches? I had to figure this out, you know? And it just seemed like it wasn't working. I was trying to figure out how to make it happen. And my plan was for me to get a part-time job back in this area so we could, you know, move back and we'll live on that. And then I'll start the church once we get settled. And I couldn't get anybody to hire me for nothing. You know, all the doors were slamming shut. And I was just so frustrated. And I got so frustrated to the point, after trying for like a year and a half, 2 years, I prayed one night and I said to God, God, I'm giving up on this church planning thing. Literally, I'm done. And I said to God, if you ever want it to happen, then you are going to have to do something. And that's about how I said it. You guys think I'm a little charismatic up here. You should see me in my prayer closet, all right? Me and God, we have it out sometimes. And I like to yell at the devil every now and then, okay? And so I was like, God, you're going to have to do something. And I gave up. And I wasn't giving up on God. I wasn't giving up on following Jesus. I wasn't giving up on the ministry he had me in at where I was at that time. But I was giving up on what seemed to not be working, right? And so I settled into ministry. I got very content in the worship ministry that I was in. And God opened up some opportunities there to do some really cool stuff with music and worship during that season. And yet, the family side of things, as far as where we were situated in life, and I just knew, like, man, I'm not supposed to be doing this forever. And it was just frustrating, you know? And so here we were over a year later. I'd totally quit trying to figure out how to start a church. I'd given up on it. And here we are on this drive. And my wife says to me, but Aaron, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And I said, I'm not talking about that. And you know what she said to me? She said, talking about what? And I was like, you know what I'm talking about. And I, what? What are you talking about? And she just kept after me until I finally was like, and I was like gripping the steering wheel. I was like, I would start a church back where we're from in Ohio. But, you know, and I began to list all the reasons why it wouldn't happen. And I told God I'm giving up on that. And he hasn't done anything yet. And little did either of us know that her asking me that question that night would be the beginning of us beginning again to go after what God had called us to. And so I felt led to ask you that question today because I believe that God is speaking hope over 2019, that he's going to stir you up for some things that maybe you've given up on that you shouldn't have given up on. Because if you're like me, you've probably had some things in your life at some time that maybe it was a dream for you, it was a desire of your heart, or maybe it was, you might even call it, it was a calling, some things that you God put in your heart that you wanted to go after, and maybe you even started to go after them, you tried, but then you failed. Maybe you made some mistakes, maybe you tried your hardest and nothing happened. You didn't see the progress you wanted to see, and so you gave up. And I believe God is calling you this year to begin again to go after those things that he's put in your heart, to go after the dreams that he has for your life. And so I don't know what that looks like for you. I was talking to a young man after last service, and he said when he was in rehab, he's 2-3 years sober now, and just God's just doing so many awesome things in his life. From sober from heroin and crystal meth and all that stuff. And he said when he was in rehab, he's like, man, that's crazy because our leader in rehab asked us that question. And he said, so many guys in rehab, you know what their response was? I just want to be a good father. I just want to be a good mother. And I want to tell you today, if that's where you're at, at this place of rock bottom, how many of you know being a good father and mother is an awesome thing that God wants for your life? That is his will for your life. And maybe you messed some things up. I'm telling you, he's calling you today to begin again, and you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. He's calling you today to begin again. Maybe for you, it was you have this dream of getting married one day. And you dated for a while, but you got discouraged and you gave up. Or maybe you got divorced and you thought your dating days were way gone. And I wonder today if God might be calling you to begin again, to begin dreaming about maybe I could be married one day. Maybe for you, it was you dreamed of having kids one day and you got discouraged and you've given up on that because it seemed like it wasn't going to happen. And I wonder if God might stir your heart today to begin again, to dream about having a family of your own. Maybe for you, it's starting a business. Or starting a new career path. Or maybe it is some type of unique ministry, like you have some type of unique ministry, like unique gifts, unique skills, artistry or business or whatever. And you've always thought, man, what if I could use this somehow to do this over here to help people know Jesus in a greater way? Or maybe I just want to help people. And you've thought of starting something that could help people in very practical ways to show them God's love. And if you've ever had something like that, and especially if you've ever had something like that and you tried a little bit and then it didn't work, I want to encourage you today. And I believe this is the message God has given me to tell you today. It's time to dream again. It's time to believe again. It's time to hope again, which means it's time to begin again. I want to show you what I'm talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 2 in Scripture if you want to follow along, because this was God's message to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 2. I want to pick it up in verse 14. It sets the context for us. It says, 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley. By then, that entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp as the Lord had sworn to them. This is Moses talking to the people of Israel, and it's been almost 40 years now that they've lived in this wilderness, and they're getting ready. God said, hey, guess what? It's time to go into the promised land. How many of you know this isn't the first time that they've tried to go into the promised land? And the first time they failed, they didn't listen to God. They rebelled against God. It was a very serious thing. They were going to stone and kill Moses and Aaron, their leaders, and go back to slavery in Egypt. And God's like, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to protect my leaders. And you're all going to sit in this wilderness for 40 years and think about what you've done. And all you who've been complaining and like, oh, God's not good. He brought us out here to die. Guess what? Every male 20 years old and over right now, right, at that time, is gonna die in this wilderness as a form of discipline, right? And so 38 years later, the last of those men who were of that army had passed away. It's only been 38 years. Don't you love it when God says it's time and it's a little earlier than when he said? Don't you love it when you think you're going to have to wait so long for something, yet God's so gracious, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to do it a little early. It's time. And so I know it's early in the year. I know you might not be prepared for it yet, but I believe God wants to do some new things in your life this year, and he wants to fill you with hope to go after the things he's called you to. And so he said this down in verse 24. He's given them instructions. Moses is recounting the history to this generation that's grown up in the wilderness, many of whom were kids or maybe not even born when they were coming out of Egypt. And this is what God tells them, very specific directions on what to do. He says, set out now across the Arnon Gorge. See. Look at your neighbor and tell him, see. God's like, I want you to, don't just do this. I want you to envision this. And he says to them, see, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. Notice God says, I have given, past tense. He doesn't say, I will give him to you. You will defeat him in battle. He says, I have given him to you. In other words, God is declaring victory in advance about a battle that had not even happened yet. Amen. That's something to get excited about. He goes, look, I've given him into your hands. And you know what they saw when they looked? They saw an army. They saw a battle. They saw work. Hard work. I think it was Thomas Edison that said most people miss opportunity because it comes dressed in overalls and looks like work, right? And so God says, see, I've given him into your hands. Here's what I think God wants me to tell you today. He's declaring victory in advance over your life. You will win this year. You will win, but you have to begin. The only way you don't win is if you don't begin. The only way you fail is if you never try. See, this wasn't the first time that they had begun to try to go into the promised land. 38 years prior, it was time. They'd only been in the wilderness for a little over a year. God says, hey, it's time. And so they go up and they get right at the bridge of the promised land, right at the border, and they're ready. And they do something very wise. They decide to do some research, to plan, to prepare. Planning, preparation, it's a necessary phase. I love planning. I love preparation. I love research. Any researchers out there? Like when you need to buy something new for your home, how many of you guys, like your wives, get really upset with you because you're like, we need to get something new. And like 3 weeks later, she's like, why haven't you ordered that yet? You're like, I'm still researching, all right? I'm reading reviews. I got to make sure it is the best thing so that I'm fully satisfied with my purchase. I don't want to have to return it, right? I want to get the best thing that there is out there. Research, planning, preparation. You fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? It's a good thing. It's a necessary stage. And so they go up and they began to plan. They began to prepare and they send 12 spies in to spy it out. Let's see what we're getting ourselves into. Let's see what these battles are going to be like that we're going to have to face. Let's see what the land is like that God's giving us. And these 12 spies go in. The 12 spies come back. And two of the spies are like, woo, we got this. And God's got us. Let's do it. All right. Who's with me? And the other 10 spies were like, hold up. Did you see the size of the people that live there? They're huge. They're massive. They're like giants, right? Their armies are vast. We can't do this. And they get discouraged, and they're afraid, and they're insecure, and they give up during the planning and preparation. See, planning and preparation is necessary, but it requires discernment. Now, for them, they knew explicitly this was the voice of God. God was calling them to this specific thing. For us in our lives, it's not always that clear because it's this Holy Spirit thing. And it's these promptings. It's maybe a dream. It's maybe a feeling you had. It's maybe reading scripture and you're like, you have an idea and you're like, oh, I'm supposed to do this, right? And it may seem very crystal clear in the moment, but then you get out of the moment and you're like, was that God or was that me? Was that God or was that me not liking my situation? Was that God or was that the pizza I ate last night, right? Wait a second. Was that God? And listen, it's very important to go through discernment. And especially the bigger the thing is that you feel called to go after, you better be sure it's God if it's going to affect your career or your family. All right, this is Gideon laying out his fleeces, right? Some people give Gideon a hard time. He gets a bad rap from some preachers on that, on fleecing God. I think it's a very good thing because if you read the story, he says, God, if this is you, he's not doubting God. He's doubting his ability to hear God right. He's like, if this is you, make this fleece wet and the whole ground dry. God, if this is you, make the whole ground wet and the fleece dry. And God confirms it and he goes, okay, it's God. God, if this is you, I'll do whatever you want. But I need to know that this is you. You got to go through the discernment phase. It's part of preparation. Pray, read scripture, ask for wise counsel from other mature Christians. Don't ask for wise counsel from people who aren't Christians because they'll give you worldly wisdom that may make sense to you and to them, but it makes no sense in the kingdom of God. Ask wise Christians who have the Holy Spirit, the ultimate counselor. Don't ask your counselor, ask the counselor for his wisdom and discernment. And if you discern that this is a God thing, not just a good thing, then you need to go after it. You see, sometimes you have good ideas, right? And it's a good thing, and you want to do it, and you might go fight for it, start fighting those battles, begin to go after it, but you face opposition, and it's a struggle. And sometimes that's because you didn't quite discern it right, and it's a good thing, just not a God thing. And if it's not a God thing, you won't have favor for that fight, and so you're not guaranteed victory for a fight that God didn't give you favor for. And so you really need to be sure that it's a God thing, not just a good thing. But if it's a God thing, if he keeps bringing it up, if you keep hearing and seeing that sacred echo everywhere, then don't make the mistake of going into the research and planning and preparation phase as discernment if you know it's God. See, they went in going, oh, look at all these problems. Look at these obstacles. Are we sure that we're supposed to do this? Because if it's truly a God calling, how many of you know you're not going to have all the answers? You're not going to be able to do it all on your own. That's why it's going to require faith. And so you got to be careful in the planning stage. And here's what I've found. They're going to face Sihon, king of Heshbon. His land wasn't even in the promised land. It was just east of the Jordan River. They needed to go through it to get to a place of preparation to be able to go into what God had called them to. And yet they faced opposition. And he opposed them. He didn't just let them pass through. They didn't even want to fight him. And yet he's going to fight them. He's going to oppose them in this planning preparation phase. You see, sometimes we face opposition and we can think, oh, God must not want me to do it. It's going to be a fight. But if it's a God thing in your life, you will face opposition because the enemy doesn't want you to have it. We have a spiritual enemy. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And the moment you begin to go after the things God has called you to, he's going to get ready to oppose you, okay? And what I've found in my life is most often he'll oppose you the strongest in the preparation phase, before you've even really begun to do what God has called you to do. You know why? Because Satan knows that once you begin, you are going to win. Look at every battle that God called his people to throughout Scripture. Moses at the Red Sea. Wasn't even supposed to be a battle. They had no weapons. And they get to the Red Sea and they're like, oh, we're stuck. And they turn around and go, oh my goodness, an army's chasing us. God, what do we do? Your favorite verse in Scripture, Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to keep still. And so you think to yourself in your morning devotion, oh, see, I don't have to do jack squat. I'm just going to be still. If God wants it to happen, he'll make it happen. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to watch Netflix some more. Except it means you need only to keep calm. That's what it means. And then God looks at Moses and goes, why are you just standing there? Do something. He literally says that to him. Lift up that staff that I've given you. Take a step of faith. And he does. And the waters part. And they begin to step into their destiny. And they get to the other side and they go, we did what you said, but what about that army? And God's like, oh, I got that. And with a wave of his hand, get it? Wave. He causes the Red Sea to take out their enemies. The moment you begin to step in faith, the moment you begin, God begins to fight on your behalf. And so the moment you begin, how many of you know, you are going to win if you just do what God says. Now listen, sometimes it just doesn't make sense what God tells you to do. Look at the first battle in the Promised Land, Jericho. God, again, speaks past tense. See, I've given it into your hands. Look. And it says when they looked, they saw walls up to the sky and 12 feet wide and the gates are all barred up. And they're like, wow, this looks difficult, you know. But God's speaking past tense about a victory for a battle that hasn't taken place yet. So they're like, what do we do? God says, just walk around and blow some trumpets and shout. Like, okay, all right. But they do. And what happens? God fights for them. God makes the walls fall down, and it was an easy victory. How about Gideon, 300 versus 300,000 people, right? And the moment he begins to fight, the Lord begins to fight, and the enemy fights against themselves, and they win a great victory. If you will begin, I'm telling you, you're going to win. You're going to win. You're gonna win. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm gonna win this year. I'm gonna win this year. Victory has been declared in advance. You will win. But you have to begin. See, beginning is often the most difficult part. See, the enemy opposes you the most strongly in the planning and preparation phase because he knows once you begin, victory is guaranteed. And so the first time around, isn't it amazing that they lost the Promised Land before they had even begun? Before they even fought one battle, they gave up and rebelled against God and their leadership. Before they had fought one battle. See, it wasn't an army of giants without that defeated them. It was an army of fear within. You have to win the war within. That is the primary battle that you have to fight. And the enemy's going to come after you before you even begin with fear and insecurity and worry, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, discouragement, anxiety, depression. He's just going to press on you to try to get you to give up because he knows if you start fighting, it's over for him. He's going to lose because you in Christ are more powerful than Satan and his minions. Did you know that? Some of you may not have known that here today. And I'm telling you here today, you are more powerful than Satan. You in Christ. When you begin to stand in your authority. See, you're so afraid of the enemy. You're so afraid of all these things he's throwing at you. Did you know he's afraid of you waking up to who you are in Christ? That's why I believe he's shaking in his boots right now. Because I'm waking you up to who you are so that you can strengthen your inner spirit and be encouraged in Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Beginning is often the most difficult part. You will win, but you have to begin. Deuteronomy 2, verse 31, God says it again. He says, see, look, I have begun, God has begun to deliver Sihon and his country over to you. Now, begin to conquer. That's what we're doing this year in 2019. We are beginning to conquer. You know why? Because that's our destiny in Christ. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You know, I looked up the word all things there in the Greek. You know what it means? All things, everything, whatever problem you come up against in life, you can do it. God will give you strength for it. He will see you through it. But you have to begin. It's going to be a fight. In fact, the bigger the calling, the more Satan's going to come after you. You got to put on the armor of God. Every time I step up here to preach, you might see me in the back corner doing this. You know what I'm doing? I'm putting on the armor of God. I'm going through the motions because I'm doing it spiritually. I'm telling you. You got to put on that helmet of salvation. I put on my breastplate of righteousness, my belt of truth. I ready my feet with the gospel of peace. I take up my shield of faith with which I extinguish every flaming arrow of the evil one. And I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then I walk out here all pumped up, ready to preach. Your words are powerful. I used to get insecure before I would preach. You know what insecurity is? Fear. And then I come up here and the whole time I'm preaching, like, I may seem like I'm just preaching, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, crap, I'm messing this up. I'm watching a train like in slow motion. Oh, my goodness, what's happening right now? Until I went through that routine. You know how often that's happened since I went through that routine? This many times. Why? Because your words are powerful. Literally. Words are spirit. You're speaking things into the spiritual realm. You put on that spiritual armor of God. You take your stand against the devil. Resist him and he will flee from you. But if you don't resist him, he's just going to have his way with you. You got to know who you are and stand in your authority in Christ and be confident in him. God says, see, I have begun to fight for you. Now you begin to conquer. Begin to conquer. We're more than conquerors. You're going to win this year. You know how I know? Because victory's already been declared in advance. Jesus declared it on the cross. It is finished. He declared victory over your life before you fought one battle in the spiritual and in the kingdom. Before you begin to fight for your family, Jesus said, it's finished. If you stay focused on me, you're going to win this year. You're going to win. But you have to begin. See, in that planning, that preparation phase, the mistake they made was they took their focus off of the Word of God. And when they went in and they saw the problems, they didn't stay focused on God and go, man, well, God's bigger than any of our problems. God promised us this. I mean, he's going to do something. Look what he did at the Red Sea. I mean, let's remember his past works, let's declare them to one another and get encouraged. If he did it then, he'll do it again. And so they didn't do that. They focused on the problems. They had giant problems, didn't they? They had a giant enemy coming against them. And what I found is whatever you focus on in your life will get magnified. It gets bigger. And so if you focus more on your problems this year, and by the way, you will have problems with your, some of y'all walked in here with a bunch of problems. I walked in here problems. We all got problems. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said, right? But take heart, I have overcome. He's like, stop focusing on your problems. Start focusing on me. Because if you focus on your problems, they get bigger and your fear will overcome your faith. And that's a sure formula for failure. You got to stay focused on Christ. And then your faith gets bigger than your fear. And listen, having faith and going after something for God doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means you have courage. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the belief that there's something more important than your fear. And it's more important for you to step into your destiny and be the man and woman of God in your household than it is for you to be afraid of causing another fight. It's more important for you to get your kids to Paul's student ministry on Sunday nights than to fear causing an argument or putting them in a bad mood. It's more important for you to go after God's calling on your life than to stay afraid and wonder, oh, what if I fail? What if I fail? What if I make a mistake? What if I'm not good enough? What if I fail? We always play this, what, you know, the what ifs that we play? Why is it always negative? That's why God says, see, victory in advance. How about we play another what if game? What if you're successful? What if you fight for your marriage this year and it works? And by the end of this year, you have the best marriage you've ever had in your life. What if you fight for your kids this year and you drag them to church? You make them come and they accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit changes their lives. They don't have the crappy attitude they had anymore. What if that happens? What if you go after the calling God placed on your life? What if you sing the song? What if you write the book? What if you begin to serve? And what if God moves on your behalf? What if other people come to Christ because you were faithful? What if you become more confident in Him because you did what He said? And by the end of this year, oh my goodness, you're in a place that you never thought you could be in a million years. See, what if? What if you win? The enemy doesn't want you to believe you can win. He doesn't want you to believe it's possible that you could rebuild your family, that you could get back on your feet, that he doesn't want you to believe the glory of redemption, that your life could actually be better, not in spite of the mistakes you made, but even because of them. That's how glorious the redemption of God is. What if that? What if you had to go through this? What if you had to hit rock bottom? What if that? And what if this year is different? Beginning is the most difficult part. You know what's even harder? Beginning again. Because the first time around, you had the bliss of ignorance. The first time around, you had all this hope. But then you failed, it didn't go right, you quit. And now you've been so disappointed. And in disappointment, you'll guard your heart because you don't want to go through that again. And so when God starts telling you it's time to begin again, some of y'all are like, no, 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 no. Okay, whatever, I've heard this before. I heard this New Year's message. Okay, you got that spirit of cynicism all over you. Need to rebuke that thing. That's not of God. God's not cynical. In Jesus' name. Sometimes the greatest deterrent to you going after God's will in your life is not your inability or an experience. It's the fact that you are experienced and you've experienced failure, you've experienced defeat. And you don't want to go through that again. Well, I'm telling you, this time is different if you stay focused on Christ. Every single day is a battle. I posted something on Facebook, Instagram earlier this week. I don't know if you saw it. I was like, it's the beginning of 2019. I got a message for you, Satan. I'm going to stomp your head so hard I bruise my heel. Whatever you do, don't think of the song We Will Rock You by Queen. Because that's going to be my anthem all year long. And my, you know, we had a few problems this week at home with some of our kids. My wife's like, oh, it's what you said. Oh, the devil's going to come after us now. She's like, oh, he's coming against us. He's a fight. He's causing a fight, you know, because of what you said. He's mad. Most of the time, she's right, y'all. But instantly, I was like, nope, that's a spirit of fear. No. I said, I don't know if you've noticed. Past 10, 12 years, I've been following Christ. Every freaking day is a fight. He comes against me whether I want him to or not. I'm sick of it. And sometimes I just got to say it. And I got to declare it. It's my war cry. You're going down this year. God says to Moses, see, this very day your enemies are going to be trembling because of you. Because they're going to hear about you. And that's what I believe is happening in the kingdom of darkness right now. The enemy is trembling because you are being woken up to who you are in Christ. This year is going to be different if you stay focused on Christ. So how do you do that? Really quickly, the month of January, we take as a season of planning and preparation. We're going to start 21 days of prayer and fasting next week, where we fast some things, some food, some media, to disconnect with the world a little bit, to get more connected to God. I want to highly encourage you. Fast some type of food. You know, sweets and pop are a good place to start. Yes, both of them, right? Okay? It's like my son one time was like, I'm fasting broccoli this year. Oh, you're such a... you're such a martyr. Wow. Okay? Like, come on. Let's get serious here. Fast something. Disconnect a little bit. Fast some media, TV, social media, you know, whatever, maybe all of it. It's 21 days, guys. It's not forever, right? Maybe you can read your Bible more, right, during that time. Let's get connected, God. Let's get focused. Let's get prepared. For me, I got to start every day in the Word of God, reminding myself who He is, who I am, what His promises are, what the truth, what the reality is of what's going on in this world. And in my life and in my mind and in my heart. So the enemy, he's very deceptive. He's very tricky. You got to know that word. He tempted Jesus with the word of God. You got to know it better than he does, right? You got to get in there every single day. Start a Bible reading program during these next few weeks. Take these weeks to plan and prepare. Figure out which one you want to do. If you never read the Bible, read the Bible in a year this year. There's a really great Bible, several great Bible in a year programs. There's many great Bible programs. Read the New Testament in a year if that's too overwhelming for you. Just get in the Word of God every day. Stay focused on Christ. Plan and commit in these 21 days. Make a commitment. I'm going to be at church every Sunday. If residence is at your home church, that's fine. Plan to be in a church every Sunday. Why? Because you get focused on Christ in this place. If you got teenagers, get them to Pulse Student Ministry Sunday nights at 5 p.m. This is great for them, but man, I'm telling you, where they can connect with other kids their age and talk about the stuff that they go through specifically every week, it's a huge thing. And so plan on getting them there. This season of planning and preparation is so important. Plan on not just attending a service, but serving. Attend one. Serve one, join one of our teams, because when you're serving in the mission of Christ, you're focused on Christ. You start making a difference in the kingdom, whether you know it or not. How many of you know beginning to serve? That's you beginning to step into your calling. If you're faithful with the little things, God will entrust you with more things. You want to get serious about getting focused on Christ this year? Commit to giving financially this year to Resonance Church so that we can do more in the kingdom, right? Now, some of you might be like new to church, like, oh, whoa, hold up a second, wait, talking about money and all this. Why is that getting focused on Christ? Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can tell what you care about by what you spend your time and money on. And so listen, it's all or nothing. Get focused on Christ. And here's why. Because any area where you're not focused on Christ, guess where the enemy's going to attack? You got to get focused in every area of your life. And if you stay focused on Christ this year, you will win. But you have to begin. Beginning is the hardest part, in my experience. You know, one of the hardest battles I had to fight in this church planting journey, one of the hardest things I had to do, there's been a lot of hard things. You know, one of the hardest things I had to do was walking into my lead pastor's office in Michigan and sitting him down, and I called the meeting, so he knew something was up. And he's like, what's going on? And I said, God has confirmed we're supposed to start a church back where we're from in Ohio. We are going to be leaving here soon. And he looked at me and he knew that I was serious. And he goes, when are you leaving? And we had this short little conversation. Told him I didn't know. We're going to go through a discernment process. And I walked out of that office exhilarated and terrified because I knew I had begun. And I wish I could have seen what I have seen over the past 4.5 years, because little did I know that God had already declared victory in advance. And from the moment I began by telling my pastor, the war had already been won. Because God saw every mountain we would come against, and he'd already told it to move. He saw every need that we would have, and he had already planned provision. And what he has done in my life, he will do in your life. So I know you've messed up. I know you've made mistakes. I know you've given up on God and on yourself at times. I have too, many times. And I cling to Lamentations 3 a lot, that his mercies are new every single day. And so you may have began before, but today is a new day with new mercy waiting. And it's time to begin again. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. And God, I just pray that you would empower this word and stir up our hearts and our spirits, God, to go after all that you want us to go after this year. God, I just bind every attack of the enemy over the lives of these people. God, I renounce every lie that they're tempted to believe, that it's too late, that they've messed up too much, that it's impossible. God, those are just lies of the enemy, because all things are possible for you, God. And God, if they'll just open up their hearts to you, God, you can redeem it all. They can begin again. And you can do great things in their life this year, God. I know you long to open up their hearts and minds to you this year. Do it right now, God. Give them a fresh start right now in Jesus' name. If you're in this place continuing in an attitude of prayer and worship with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give you that opportunity. If you just feel like you need a fresh start today, whatever that is, I just want you to lift up your hand and I'm going to pray for you. You know, whatever it is. If you're not a believer in Jesus and you're like, I want to know Jesus, lift up your hand. If you are and you've messed up some things, you need a fresh start, just lift that up. Just lift it up. And let me pray for you right now. Father, I pray for those who have their hands lifted up. God, I pray that you would give them that fresh start. If you have your hand lifted up, just say this out loud with me. Say, Jesus, come into my life and give me a fresh start. Help me begin again with you. Help me not to fear the enemy. I renounce fear in Jesus' name. I renounce the disappointment of the past in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. This time, Deanna's going to come up. Yeah. Go for it.
Hi. I just wanted to share with you that during the worship time earlier, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said that there was someone here that has artistic gifting that he has placed within you, and that you have just shoved it to the side and even felt at times like it's not something that could be used for his kingdom. I even saw this person painting. So if that is you today, I feel like God is wanting to just tell you to come and just receive that gifting that he has given you for his glory. It is a gift that he has given you, and to not be ashamed of that gift, but to let that gift just flourish, and it is going to be used for the kingdom of God. So I just want to encourage you, if that's you today and your heart is getting stirred, just begin to turn back to that gift that he's placed within you.
Awesome, awesome. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Also, I feel like I was, when during worship earlier, I felt like the Lord was saying too, there's someone here struggling with anxiety and depression to the point that they've thought about taking their own life. And so if that's you during this last song, would you please go pray with somebody today? Because God just wants to get rid of those thoughts and feelings from your life. If you're the artistic person, you felt like that was for you, go pray with somebody and let them just bless what God's doing in your life today. Would you guys stand with us? And we're going to sing one more song as we close today.